Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom, what up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having an incredible day. Kind of a cloudy day here in Southern California. Not that you care. You're like, dude, seriously, give it a rest. Don't care. You're in L.A. Lakers won. Dodgers in the World Series. Don't want to hear you. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating kind of fact, right? Stating fact. Look, I saw this and I just, I you know, we got a great show for you. Steve Fezzik's going to join us. He of professional gambling fame. We'll get straight out of Vegas upcoming, get you ready for Thursday night football and all the games this Sunday with Steve Fezzik, who will join us. He's you can hear him on Straight Out of Vegas, show that follows this one. Bruce Gradkowski will join us, former NFL quarterback. He'll join us at 1:30 on the West, 4:30 on the East, and at 5:30, the great Dwight Freeney will join us. So, look, I got a lot of things to get to. I want to start with this. In addition to Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday saying that I don't think COVID-19 is going to enter my body, it's a mutual respect thing, which is funny. In addition to being suspended or not allowed to be around the LSU football team for 2 years, there's other stuff regarding Odell Beckham Jr. See, OBJ, I think it's funny. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., and I've heard this argument made time and again. Sunday, the Browns, for the, 17th consecutive time, lost in Pittsburgh to the Steelers. I don't know whether he played well or didn't play well. I didn't think Baker Mayfield played particularly well. And for a team that has been really good this year up until that point, with the exception of the first game against the Baltimore Ravens, they've done so based upon their ability to first run the football and then get the ball to their skill position players, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, and of course, Odell Beckham Jr. So what's really kind of interesting slash fascinating about this entire thing is that Odell Beckham Jr., every year around this time, there's something, right? There's something. If you go back last year, it was, why is he wearing a watch during an NFL game? Why is he handing Tom Brady goat-haired cleats after a game in which they lose to Tom Brady? You go back the previous year, he's with the New York Football Giants. And it's, why is he on one knee making a proposal to a kicking net? It is always something with Odell Beckham Jr. Here's OBJ in his own words defending his sideline antics.
I'm pissed. And at this point, I really don't care to keep trying to make myself look like a good guy into the world and all that. I am who I am. I got pulled out of the game. The coach said this was the best decision. You know, it's 8 minutes left. And for me, I'd rather take my over like a man. I'd rather take my win the same way. There's people who have plenty of rings and consider the GOAT, and they do things on the sideline, and other people do things on the sideline, and they get away with it, and it's classified as passion because they may have something behind their legacy or whatever it is.
It's funny. Tonight is the last presidential debate, right? Do you guys remember when Lloyd Benson was debating Dan Quayle? Do you remember that, John Ramos?
I do.
It's interesting because Dan Quayle from Indiana, Mike Pence also from Indiana. Look, I don't want to get into a political discussion with you, but I do think there's a little bit of a political discussion. There's two different parts to it. Okay. First thing is this. OBJ is saying, hey, Tom Brady yells at teammates on the sideline. Why can't I yell at teammates on the side? Tom Brady is seen as passionate. Why can't I? And do you know what it reminds me of? This, like, I'm 44 years old. I love politics. Okay. When I was in eighth grade, I had to play Al Gore in a presidential debate. Al Gore at the time was this bright, young, up-and-coming star from Georgia who's 40 years old. Right? Doesn't mean that I love all of Al Gore's policies or beliefs. It's just from that moment, it started kind of the political wheels in my brain thinking, and every 4 years or so, I get really interested in how politics works. OBJ saying that Tom Brady gets away with it. Why can't I? Is just like what Lloyd Benson said.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
It was amazing. It's like the great, like, in my lifetime, okay, the greatest line from a movie, I think, is Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back. I love you. I know. In my lifetime, the greatest debate line where you listen to what somebody says, like, that's the genius of it. And this is what I like. I was on debate club when I was a kid, and I was in high school, I was at Model United Nations. I was an athlete, but I did these other things that I like. And my style has always been use the other person's words against them, which is Dan Quayle was like, he equated himself to a young Jack Kennedy. And Lloyd Benson's like, Senator, I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was fine. And you, sir, are no Jack Kennedy. And which is an amazing line. Look, in my lifetime, the greatest line I've ever heard a president say was George Bush on top of the rubble in New York City saying, I hear you. And pretty soon the people that did this are going to hear you. Like, I got chills even saying it. So let me just say this to Odell Beckham Jr. and to the sycophants in the media who, like Odell, know he's popular, know he's cool, and they want to make it about race. They want to make it about everything that it's not about. I don't know Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not a friend of mine. But you, sir, Odell Beckham Jr., are no Tom Brady, and no one believes you are. Wide receivers and quarterbacks, they play the same sport. They are not in the same solar system in terms of what they're able to do and the accountability that's held against them. It's a completely different stratosphere. And OBJ's playbook is straight out of the malcontent wide receiver playbook that we've seen time and again. It's more refreshing when we see an Andre Johnson, who at the end of his run to Houston, he got pissed and he's like, get rid of it. But for the most part, Andre Johnson from Miami, he didn't say boo to nobody. Julio Jones doesn't say, you know, he's done the holdout thing, but he's never really done the look at me thing. He's been the best wide receiver in the league. Like Stephon Diggs, who I love, that's more what wide receivers are like. OBJ, it's more what wide receivers are like. And these idiots in the media that want to, the white quarterback. No, he can't. He's won 6 Super Bowls. Okay, let's just take this as it is. Let's compare the two. Everything Tom Brady has done has been about winning and team, taking less money, showing up to OTAs. All but 1 year he showed up to OTAs. Okay? Whatever style they chose to play, he did it in New England. Even when he left and he went to Tampa, he didn't burn bridges. And he didn't take top dollar. And you say, well, he's not worth top dollar. That's fine. He's got 6 Super Bowl rings. If he was said, like, hey, I ain't playing for less than $40 million, somebody's going to find $40 million for him. Specifically Tampa, if they really want him. Everything he's done has been about team. And every reaction has been about the team playing well, not playing well. And his buy-in is first one in, last one out. In addition to the fact that quarterbacks are different than wide receivers, when a quarterback throws an interception, it goes on his record. Doesn't go on the wide receiver's record. Even the wide receiver ran the wrong route. Nobody goes back and says, you know, Peyton Manning threw 17 picks his last year, but hey, 5 of them weren't his fault. Nobody says that. You're not the face of the franchise. And when you're getting your ass kicked in Pittsburgh for the 17th consecutive time and you get taken out of the game, you sit there and you get mad as you can be. But you keep your cleats on, put your helmet on, keep your chin strap on, and you're a good damn teammate. That's what you do. And when you get in the locker room, if you want to go up to the coach and confront him and say, well, what's going on here? Or you want to wait until Tuesday, you know, after you have Monday off, or Monday you want to go and on the flight home, you want to go and sit next to the coach and what's going on. That's when you do it. That's what a grown-up does. He is an immature child. He's already gotten run out of New York. It's not because of talent. He's a great talent. But the New York Giants said, we want to rebuild this team, and we'll get rid of the highest paid wide receiver, most talented, young, not yet in his prime wide receiver, because we think that he's a cancer. Right? How were they 2 years ago in Cleveland? Not bad. How were they last year? Abject disaster. Did they add or subtract Odell Beckham Jr.? Is he helping you win football games? That's not helping. And it's clear that he's leaking to the media, to the Stephen A. Smith. I want to be traded. I want out of here. Dude, you're 4-2. You're on a winning team. You're on a winning team. I don't mind. I don't blame you for being frustrated with Baker Mayfield. By the way, when you got there, you had the balls to say that Baker Mayfield, well, finally play with a guy who can make all the throws. For what was the win? What was the win in putting shade on Eli Manning? Dude, everybody loves Eli Manning. Don't believe me? When they benched Eli Manning for one game, the coach, the general manager, the president all lost their jobs. And you have the balls to go to Cleveland and go, hey, this guy can make every throw. By the way, you can't evaluate quarterbacks because Eli is better than Baker. Everybody would agree. But the problem isn't in the media. The problem isn't with Odell Beckham Jr. It's with the media. And this is where it relates to the presidential stuff. Okay? When Trump was running for president, I didn't find his approach, the things he said, to be acceptable in the forum of running for president, but that was his bag, right? Like, I'm going to run as the non-conventional, non-presidential. I don't even think he knew he was going to win, and then he won. The difference in how it's taken, now you're the president. Now you represent the free world. You can't say the things that you say. You can't treat the office. The president was supposed to be like our old, it's always been like our old dad or grandpa or whatever, put everybody arms around, like not this guy. It's by many people's estimation, mine in particular, regardless of politics, and believe it or not, there's some policies I actually agree with that he, but that's not how we behave and the words we say and the way we act when we're president. That's really what a big portion of this is about. And the wide receivers have acted this way, okay? Quarterbacks are like presidents. There's certain things that they're allowed to say and not allowed to say. And please stop with it. You're not critical of the white quarterback. Bull crap. We roast Baker Mayfield. Aaron Rodgers has bad body language. We crush him. Johnny Manziel got run out of the NFL. Hey, it's the position. Tim Tebow can't throw a football. They won games and everybody knew couldn't really throw a football. It's not true. Okay, Lamar's an MVP. Then Lamar plays poorly against the Kansas City Chiefs. And people are like, well, Lamar's got a ceiling. It's not about race. It's about position. That position is more important. That position has certain decorum. That position has a way in which you treat things. That position is one of leadership. And if you don't like, if players didn't like Tom Brady's leadership, they wouldn't play for him. Right? Jay Cutler was a jerk. The Browns wouldn't play for him. If you think that Tom Brady's not respected by every guy in both locker rooms that he's played in, why the hell do they keep competing when he yells at them? As opposed to Odell Beckham Jr., whose main problem is about himself. So there is a disconnect there between reality, how it's really viewed inside every NFL locker room and every NFL front office, and what you're hearing from many of my brethren. I'm not going to tell you that the black athlete has always been treated fairly. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the black quarterback was always treated fairly. That would be a lie. But I will tell you now that if you want to compare Tom Brady to Odell Beckham Jr., everyone who knows anything about sports is going to go, you're really reaching. It doesn't make sense. It's Dan Quayle saying, equating himself to John F. Kennedy. You're not John F. Kennedy. I didn't know John F. Kennedy. I don't know Tom Brady. OBJ, stop. And you don't have six rings. You don't have one. You haven't won one playoff game. You've been in the playoffs once. And by the way, when you were on that playoff team, you went on the boat in Florida the week of the game. And again, you can go on the boat the week in Florida. But you know what you can't do? You can't go out and throw out a stinker, which they did in the playoffs. Your team is 4-2. You got your ass whooped by a better football team for the 17th consecutive time on their field. You want to be a great football player? Play better. Lead better. by example. Keep your shoes on. Keep your helmet on. Everyone knows. Everyone who's played football knows you keep your bonnet on. And I am just, I get up to the gills with the, do I think that race plays a factor in our world? Sure. If you think race plays a factor in being critical of Odell Beckham Jr., then I can't help you because you default to racism every time. The guy took off his cleats and his helmet while pitching a fit, getting his ass kicked on the football field. No one else did that on Sunday. There are 32 NFL teams. Name the other player who did it. Ryan Fitzpatrick just got benched after playing a great game. He was like, man, this thing sucks. I don't know what I'm going to do. But when Tua Tagovailoa came in, did he take off his helmet and throw his cleats? Hell no, he cheered for him. Because that's what you do in the greatest team sport we have. All right, a lot to get to. I want to commend a general manager for doing what guys almost never do. We'll get to that upcoming next. But first, Bet Rivers Sportsbook wants to invite you to discover the complete sports betting experience. The foundation of that experience is a massive number of betting options on nearly every regulated sporting event around the world. Add on top of that live streaming of sports every day, and there's almost always a live match to watch on Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Right on your phone, Bet Rivers features top-tier customer service ready to answer your questions anytime, day or night. Plus, with the unique rush pay system, Bet Rivers Sportsbook can authorize most withdrawal requests instantly. Customer satisfaction is always their number one priority. Bet Rivers will match your first deposit up to $250. Unlike some other sportsbooks, Bet Rivers only requires a one-time pay-through to turn bonuses into cash. Experience the difference. Go to BetRivers.com and see for yourself. Must be 21. Must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Remember, that's BetRivers Sportsbook, and simply go to BetRivers.com.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Perk up your ears for Farmers Policy Perks. From discounts to added benefits, you can get a whole lot of something. Get a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Not available in every state. Only available with select Farmers branded policies underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate.
When a train hits a vehicle or a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't, paid for by NHTSA. Did you guys see this deal? Beyer, did you see this deal? We're going to get to Dan Beyer with an update on all sports stuff in a second. But you guys see this deal? Yannick Ngakoue, who, of course, he wanted to get paid in Jacksonville, asked to be traded from Jacksonville. They obliged and traded him to the Minnesota Vikings. Ngakoue today was traded from the Vikings to the Ravens, just 6 weeks in. Right now, part of it is that the Vikings just aren't that good, but they finalized the trade. And I think Schefter reported that the Ravens will send a 21 third round pick and a conditional 22 fifth round pick to Minnesota. Now, the Vikings had acquired Ngakoue for a second round pick and a conditional fifth round pick. He had 5 sacks in 6 games and 7 quarterback hits. So, look, the Ravens are in a bye week, and this is important just so you understand. And this is a big point that I want to make, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know as much about what's going on in the league as Schefter, as Brinson, as Jay Glazer, and some of those guys. But some of the stuff I hear on TV, here and see on TV, and here on radio, are people who, it's not reality. Like, they talk about things that are not, like, Odell Beckham Jr. is not getting traded from a 4-2 team. Like, it's not happening. These things don't happen. So I don't want to talk about things that aren't real. This is real. Right? We've said this before about Amari Cooper, who's a good player, but if you remember, the Cowboys traded a first-round pick for him. And the reason the Raiders wanted to get off the Amari Cooper train was not because they didn't think he was good. It was that he was going to ask for superstar wide receiver money, and they didn't think he's a superstar wide receiver. So the Cowboys got him, and then they're left with the decision of, do we overpay Amari Cooper? And basically that says we were right to trade a first-round pick for him. Or do we let him walk? Or do we, you know, they couldn't franchise tag him because they had to franchise tag their quarterback. That was all screwed up as well. I want to commend Rick Spielman. Now, in all honesty and all full disclosure, Rick Spielman's an unbelievable guy. Unbelievable guy. I think he's adopted six kids. Like, I got to, this is, and I don't know if he'll own up to it if he ever comes on radio, but he probably, so when I was at the other place, my radio studio, I shared with Colin, but if you remember, Colin was in the earlier times, where Colin and Dan are now, they're flip-flopped. So Colin would do a show, and then the studio was empty. So then I got to come in, and I had, like, that studio kind of all to myself. It was really nice. And a couple of guys used to come and hang out, and I had these, it was a brand-new studio. I had awesome TVs. We were close to everything, but we were kind of far away. So, like, ESPN News and SportsCenter couldn't come and grab guys. It was awesome. So Terry Francona, Rick Spielman, Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim Legler periodically would come in and like, hey, can I just hang with you? And we'd throw them on for a segment, but really they hang out for a couple hours because they had a show to do that night or that afternoon, and they didn't want anybody to find them, and they didn't like have an office or somewhere to close their eyes, so they just sit and we talk. And Rick told me something then, and this was before he got the Vikings job, that I think he proved to be true with this Ngakoue trade. People double down on mistakes all the time because they want to say we were right. No, you're all wrong. We were right. Yannick Ngakoue was a bad fit for their system, and they didn't want to pay him the huge new contract. So, yeah, they took a hit, and instead of, you know, they lost a second rounder, they'll get a third rounder in return, and it probably sets them back, and it may wave a little bit of the white flag, but that's better than re-signing Yannick Ngakoue simply because you want to prove that you were right. Sometimes just admitting you were wrong is the hardest thing as a guy, right? Like, yeah, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And in the NFL, it's really hard in 6 weeks to go, you know what? There's nothing wrong with Yannick Ngakoue. He's just not the right fit for us. We're not at that winning spot, and he fits what the Ravens do better. And I will lose a little bit. Like, this happens when you buy a house. You're like, I don't love the house. Like, all right, well, you sell it. Well, I'm going to lose money with the realtor fees. Like, okay. Or you keep being unhappy. Like, which is it? So I think what Spielman did was, I don't know, it was brilliant, but it speaks to his intelligence, his respectability, his understanding of you're better off losing a little, like a one round of a draft pick, than you are wasting a lot, which is a lot of money on Ngakoue. Doug Gottlieb Show! Fox Sports Radio. I love this. Steve Fezzik joins us. He's awesome. He's a professional gambler. You hear him on Straight Out of Vegas. And Steve, let me just ask you, the news at the moment is that the Buccaneers-Raiders game was moved because there's some fear that the Raiders may not be able to play this game. They need a Sunday night football game. Does this affect how you view this game from the betting perspective at all?
Oh, absolutely. And this was a big mover. Yesterday, I was a little groggy in the morning. I got an urgent text, bet Tampa -3, quick, Raiders COVID. So I did. And it just shows how fast information gets out there. Within about, I'd say 20 minutes, that line was up to 4. Tampa Bay laying 4, not just because of Trent Brown being out, but the possibility, obviously, of more players being out for the Raiders. And now Vegas, they are skittish about this game. They have pulled this game off the board because there's too much uncertainty, Doug, about who is going to play and is the game going to be played. And because of that, you cannot bet on that game right now in Vegas.
Okay, I want to there's two different arguments here. Steve Fezzik joining us. You hear him on Straight Out of Vegas, professional gambler, a guy you should absolutely listen to more so than me for advice. But I do want to point out that we make fun of the NFL for making these coaches wear the masks, even if they've tested to be negative. But the point is that what the coaches do, the players will follow. They just do. And, you know, John Gruden's a guy who wasn't big on the masks. And, again, it's not all his fault, But I guarantee if he was wearing a hazmat suit, his team might have taken it a little bit more seriously. So we shall see. Okay, let's get to a couple of the games that are of interest. Let's start with tonight. The Eagles are on kind of wing and a prayer in terms of the talent. But Carson Wentz seemed to snap out of it and figure some stuff out in the second half. They're taking on the Giants, who have been competitive, but you got Danny Dimes, who turns the ball over, fumbles the ball seemingly once a game. What are your thoughts on the Eagles as a 4.5-point favorite Thursday Night Football?
I would look towards the Giants, and I'm against the market now because some money's coming in on Philly, and it's coming in because DeSean Jackson and Lane Jackson are likely to play, and so the Eagles, instead of being down 9 starters in offense, will only be down 7 starters. But I got to tell you, Miles Sanders, that running back for the Eagles has single-handedly kept the Eagles in games, averaging over 6 yards per rush, 2 long runs, 74 yards the last week and the week before. And without him, I think the Eagles are really going to have trouble separating.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's get to that Sunday slate of games. I want to start with this one. The Cincinnati Bengals are welcoming the Cleveland Browns. And if you took the reaction of Odell Beckham Jr., the Browns are the ones with a 1-4-1 record. That's not the case. They're actually 4-2. The Bengals had a big lead and then succumbed to Phillip Rivers in a comeback from the Indianapolis Colts. Bengals are at home. They've been, with one game rule as an exception, they've been really competitive. The line is at 3 right now. Do you have a lean?
Yeah, I bet Cleveland minus 3, and it's all about going back to week 2. Remember, that game, Cleveland was at home and only won by 5, and the Bengals were competitive on the final scoreboard. But what happened in that game? We saw the Bengals convert 5 for 5 on fourth down conversions. Cleveland really ran all over them and dominated that game. If Cleveland had won that game by 19 like they should have, I think the spread would be higher. I'm on Cleveland.
Green Bay comes off their first ass-whooping of the year, though on the wrong side of an ass-whooping. They're still on the road. They're taking on Houston, who's looked slightly better, 1-1 since the coaching change. Who do you like?
I'm going to pass this game. I do think it's a good spot for Green Bay after getting their butts kicked, like you said, to put a full focus in. But Houston is the best 1-5 team I think that I've ever seen. And now that Watson has his two really good wide receivers healthy, Cooks and Fuller, Houston's going to put up big points as long as those two guys stay healthy.
The Chargers have a remarkable way of finding a way to lose games they should win. They're a big favorite at home against the Jaguars. 7.5. Is that too many points?
You know, I like the Chargers here, and I kind of like the fact they're a big favorite because you know the Chargers, it's in their head blowing these close games. So maybe we'll go ahead and play them as a big chalk. I know I don't want Jacksonville, a team whose defense has given up 30 points 5 straight weeks.
Interim head coach in Atlanta. Detroit coming off a big road win. Detroit is a 2.5-point dog in Atlanta. I love Detroit in this. What am I missing?
You know, I like what Detroit's doing with their offense, getting the rookie running back Swift involved. They got Galladay back, their stud wide receiver. So Detroit's going to put up points. But under Raheem Morris, Atlanta's being ultra-aggressive, throwing the ball more. I bet the over 55.
Over 55. That's okay. Let me get to the Dallas taking on the Washington football team. Now, look, on the surface, I think Washington stinks. But the last time they faced a team that was missing 4 offensive linemen was the Philadelphia Eagles in the second half. And that was their only win of the season because the strength of Washington is what they got up front in the defensive front. The Cowboys, if you lined up their 53, you'd probably take 48 or so of their players ahead of the Washington football team. The game is a pick 'em. Cowboys with a bunch of backups, but plenty of stars still available. Who do you like?
Well, I think you nailed it. Washington did really well when Philly had no O-line. And now Dallas has no O-line. Not only are their tackles out for Dallas, their backup tackles are out. Zach Martin was concussed. Is he going to play? I don't know. I would look towards Washington.
Well. Okay, probably game of the week. 5-0 Pittsburgh, 5-0 Tennessee. Pittsburgh looked great. But so, Tennessee, I mean, has been awesome running the football. This is like an immovable object against irresistible force. Who do you like?
I would look to Pittsburgh. I have Tennessee, Doug, my number 13 rated NFL team.
Wow.
So I know. I am on an island here. Some people have Tennessee.
Clay Travis is calling in right now. Hold on. What?
It's all about Tennessee.
He has you ranked behind Biden, by the way. I'm just wondering. That's pretty bad. Pretty low down his list.
Oh, my goodness. So Tennessee 5-0, but look at these wins at Denver, Jacksonville, at Minnesota, Houston.
Stinky.
They all could have gone either way.
Yes.
Those were all 4 games. They even could have lost the Jacksonville game.
And they're all teams that I think collectively have won like 3 or 4 games, right? So
exactly. So I would look towards Pittsburgh.
Okay, Seattle, Arizona is now the Sunday night game. Arizona comes off an impressive performance against Cowboys, against Seattle team. Like, there's some kind of mirror images in terms of quarterbacks, slightly different. Obviously, Kyler, I think, runs a little bit better. Russell, more refined as a thrower. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Arizona getting three on the all-important hook, 3.5.
Yeah.
Seattle, overrated. So Seattle, 4-0 in close games this year, 10-2 in close games last year. Now, you can make the case Russell Wilson is certainly clutch, and that's part of that. But the Seattle defense is not good. Football Outsiders has them rated number 26. And let's face it, if Seattle wins another close game, we want to be on Arizona plus the 3.5.
San Francisco, New England. New England, 2-point favorite after an absolute stinker against Denver last week with limited practice. And you got Jimmy G coming back to play against his old team. What are your thoughts?
So we did some research on how Belichick does against his former quarterbacks. Mm. Who would know them better than the genius? And it turns out Belichick's done very well, 11-3 against the spread, holding those teams to just under 14 points. So I think it might not be a very good day at all for Jimmy G, one of my favorite quarterbacks. I would look towards New England.
Rams and Bears. This feels like, was it the 85 NFC Championship game? Was that what it was? In the freezing cold, right? Eric Dickerson went out there. This one in L.A., so back-to-back games in L.A. in the new stadium. This is Monday night. Do you have an early lean?
You know, amazingly, I was at that playoff game.
Were you?
And the temperature dropped to 31, and the crowd roared in approval.
Yes,
there were snow flurries, and the Rams blew a timeout at the end of the first half. I still have vivid memories of this one. I like the Rams in this game. I'm going to make the case. I know the Rams have played a stinky schedule against the NFC East, but the Rams have traveled 15,000 miles already, and I think that really finally caught up to them when they went to the Bay and played San Francisco, having an extra day, playing Monday night. The Bears are a fugazi. They're 4-1. They're an average team at best. I'd be on the Rams.
Awesome stuff. Steve Fezzik. Steve, love your work. Tell all the guys in your show we love it. It follows ours. It's called Straight Outta Vegas. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Doug.
Pleasure is all mine. There's your Vegas update, getting you ready for the weekend's games. And for Thursday night, he thinks the Giants keep it close tonight. Coming up, who is the best helmet in the NFL? We'll tell you next.
You get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. So much, I'm going to have to speed things up. You can get the Farmers Signal app, and that could get you up to 15% off your auto policy. That's just for using the app and driving like the normal speed limit, hearing full stop, making lane change, signaling human being you are. Get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. Start with a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Now for the legal something.
Not available in every state and discount varies. Only available with select Farmers branded policies. Subject to terms and conditions underwritten by Farmers Drug and Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Perk up your ears for Farmers Policy Perks. From discounts to added benefits, you can get a whole lot of something. Get a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Not available in every state. Only available with select Farmers branded policies underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. On November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds will compete in 14 exhilarating races worth $31 million in purses and awards at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at Breeders' Cup World Championships at breederscup.com/2020. Let's get to a game.
This is Game
Fire.
Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Beyer, what's the game today?
Doug, the game today is...
Rank 'em.
No, it's not.
It is. I feel a draft.
There it is. It's I Feel a Draft today here on Fox Sports Radio. The guy.
They look the same to me for some reason.
Rankem is spelled R-A-N-K-E-M. I Feel a Draft is spelled I. We'll just move on. All right, Doug, today we are ranking the best current helmets in the National Football League. Two-round draft. John Ramos will have the first overall pick. This allows you, Doug, at number two, to move up to number one if you would like on a potential deal. I'll pick third. Gavin Kinzel, our producer today, he has the swing pick as we go back around in the snake format of this draft at 4 and 5. John Ramos, best-looking helmet currently in the National Football League of the 32 helmets.
This is a tough one for me. I don't like this pick. So I will go to Doug and say if he wants to go, and I'll pick second. Do you want to take that Doug?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not exactly positive on this one, so I'm going to trade it up to Doug and fall to number two.
Chargers.
All right.
I mean, I am a Chargers fan, but I mean, the white with the lightning bolts and the blue, Amazing.
And now the numbers on the helmet.
And now the numbers as well. It's kind of the ode, the throwback kind of style. I love it. Chargers.
All right, John, you are at number two now.
Dan, I'm not liking number two a lot. You want to move up to number two and I'll fall to number
three?
Well,
if I get the same deal that Doug just got with not having to give anything else up. So,
sure. No, I'm just falling to number three.
I'll take it.
All right.
My favorite helmet in the NFL is the Cincinnati Bengals.
I love the Cincinnati Bengals. That actually is my second choice. Great call. Good pick. Good pick, Dan. Reach. Good job.
All right, John, you are now at number three.
See, that was good because I had neither one of those two, and I would have been chastised for that. But I'm going to go with a fleur de lis.
Ooh,
is that how you say
yes.
it?
Yes.
And the New Orleans Saints. I like their helmet, number three.
Okay. Two a little high for me. But okay, go ahead.
Doug took my top pick. I will go with their rival, the Raiders. Classic helmet.
Hey, Raiders.
And Gavin, you have the swing pick.
You have
background.
Another pick.
With the swing pick, we'll take their rival from the 70s, the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. The star and the sign different when you wear a star and sign a helmet.
Wow, I am.
That's good.
I'm at six. John, would you like to trade to move up to six for this
sure,
one?
Sure, I'll trade
okay.
with you.
All right, then I'll trade down to eight. Okay. John, you
Here's
can
where
have
I'll
six.
Take, not as great as it was, but I'll take my Rams
I like
at number
them.
Six.
I like the Rams' new bonnets. I like them a lot.
All right, Doug, you are up at number seven.
Here's one that I think is highly underrated. The New York Football Giants.
Mm.
Simple NY, old
the
school
NY.
Style. On the side. Better than when they used to have in the 80s when they had the Giants on the side. I like the NY. I'm going to go with the Giants.
I don't want to be a homer and pick the Seahawks.
But I'm going to be a homer and pick the Seahawks.
But I am. I like how the bird has just been modified throughout its entire existence.
Yes.
And the different sort of print they have on the middle of the helmet. Give me the Seahawks at number eight.
That's game, huh? Game
time. This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
I got to point this out. Like, this is how good the league is. Okay? This is how good the league is. We would have a better time doing the eight worst helmets than we did because they're all really good. Like, they've done a great job of having traditional styles and a couple. Like, I think the Patriots might have the worst helmets in the league. There's just nothing. Like,
yeah.
I like Pat Patriot or whatever that guy was.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Patriot.
Way better. I'm going to set the record straight on a major misconception in sports. We'll do so upcoming next on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.